For decades, allegations of discrimination have plagued the Agriculture Department. They've come from farmers and the department's own employees. Now USDA is spending more than $1.3 billion in a new program to settle discrimination claims by Latino and female farmers. And inside the agency, employee complaints are at a record low. Tom Temin and I asked Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack to explain how the agency has made this progress.
I would say that there are probably three steps and three actions we've taken. First of all, training our employees and modernizing our customer service so that we do a better job of making sure that people are sensitive to people of all races, all regions of the country, making sure that our political appointees are sensitive to the need for civil rights training and actually participating in the training. Making sure our staff, particularly in the states where we had majority of complaints in the past, are sensitive and well-trained to deal with customers in the right way, and making sure that we keep track of complaints and hold people accountable. That's one. And the second thing I think we've done is to diversify our workforce, where we really have expanded the pool of applicants so that we get a broader range of people applying for these jobs so that we have greater diversity within the employment employees of USDA. And then third, to make sure that there's a strong and consistent message, we've worked hard to try to settle past cases and claims against the USDA from a number of groups, including African Americans, Hispanics, women, and Native Americans.
And how do you make sure that the claims that are paid go to people that were actually discriminated against? Because you know, it's a class action lawsuit, and that can invite a lot of people who maybe wish they were farmers or could have been farmers, as opposed to those who were actually denied claims on the basis of their racial orientation by the Agriculture Department.
Well, there's a process in place, both in all the cases that have been resolved and those that are in the process of being resolved, where people have to establish at least some level of proof that they actually tried to do business with USDA and were discriminated against either by not getting a loan or getting a loan late or getting a loan with conditions that were different than perhaps a white farmer or a white applicant would receive. So there is a proof point that is required. And there is an independent third-party evaluator of those proof points to make sure that we're in a position to say the people who are getting the resources and the money are the ones who are entitled to do so.
I think it's important to note that USDA has not had not only these problems with allegations of racial discrimination and sexual discrimination in the outside world, but also within the federal workforce. And I know that employee discrimination complaints are at record low levels. Do you attribute that to the training that you just mentioned? If so, what is that training like?
Well, I'd say it's a couple of things. The training basically is done by experts who come in and make us a lot more sensitive to comments and to actions that in the past maybe people would have thought were appropriate or funny, but really aren't appropriate and are not funny and are not taken the way that they should be. And so the training, I think, is done by professionals. It's very specific, and it really heightens people's sensitivities and awareness about what is appropriate conduct and what is not. Secondly, holding people accountable. Making sure that they know that the secretary reviews on a regular basis the EEO complaint numbers for each department, for each state operation. And if we see a problem, if we see a spike in claims or incidences, then we basically will send folks out or do an investigation as to why we've seen that spike. And then targeting our resources in a very specific way to address it. And then finally, you know, making sure that we also create metrics that allows the folks on the front lines to know how they're doing. You know, I think it's important to give people pats on the back when they're doing a good job. And we've created a structure and a system that basically rewards people in a sense by acknowledging their good work. So you hold people accountable when the work's not done well, but you also congratulate them when they are doing a good job. And at the end of the day, it's really the frontline workers that are making the difference here, and I'm proud of the efforts that they've undertaken.
We're speaking with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. Now, whether it's internal discrimination or discrimination against those applying for loans over the decades to agriculture, it would seem like there's a lot of people that were committing these kinds of discriminatory acts. And as you gather data on claims, again, internal or external, and what compensation might be due, are you looking at who it was that denied a loan or committed the act, and what happened to those people?
Well, we have. But, of course, a lot of those folks, some of these incidences occurred 20, 25 years ago, 15 years ago, and a number of those folks are no longer in the workforce. But what we have done is we've gone back to the areas where we've seen historically the greatest number of complaints, and we've created a process and a system by, for example, determining how many minority or socially disadvantaged farmers, for example, would be in a county where we'd had previous bad experiences. And then basically look at how many loans are going to socially disadvantaged producers in that county and comparing it to the population. And if there's a disproportionate number, in other words, if say 10% of the population is socially disadvantaged, but only 0.5% of the loans are going to socially disadvantaged farmers, then we know we've got a problem. We've got to go back into that county, and we have to work with local folks to see why that is so. Is it that people don't know about the programs? Is it that the process is complicated and they're not getting the kind of assistance and help? So we've also created a thing called Strike Force. And within Strike Force, it's not so much, it's not specifically focused on producers, but it's in those persistently poor counties in the country where 90% of our poverty exists. We're going in with teams of people that represent FSA, NRCS, rural development, and we're training people at the local level to better participate and better understand how to participate successfully in our programs. And then we're basically having the community identify projects that they think are important to them and work with them to make sure that they have success so they see what success looks like, and that will make it a little bit easier for them to replicate success. And we're seeing, as a result of Strike Force, more participation by socially disadvantaged producers in our loan programs. 60% of our loans have gone in the last 3 years to either beginning farmers or socially disadvantaged farmers. So we're doing a better job on the ground. NRCS, a record number of conservation acres enrolled now, and socially disadvantaged producers now taking more advantage of the conservation programs. And on the rural development side, you know, we have a fairly good track record there of providing resources to folks who are really in need. So, again, it's the frontline folks, making them aware, making them sensitive, and explain to them, look, we can pay out hundreds of millions of dollars in claims or billions of dollars in claims, or we can make sure that those resources are available for the programs that help people. All we have to do is do our job well, and if we do, we don't have to worry about paying out huge sums of money to folks who have not been treated well.